Triangle area is under a tropical storm warning all day today as the remnants of Ian arrive in our area. No school today for Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County schools. All school events for the weekend are also being canceled or postponed. Also, no school for Alamance, Burlington schools, and Wake County schools. For Durham and Chatham County schools, today will be a remote learning day. At UNC, classes are still on, but the university will move into Condition 1, reduced operations, beginning at 10 a.m. That allows non-mandatory employees to work remotely or reduced hours. The storm is also affecting local government and other scheduled events. Orange County is shutting down all non-essential services today. Solid waste services are closed. Recycling will not be collected. And tonight's movie at the park of Sonic 2 has been canceled. Tomorrow's scheduled Carrboro 10K run has also been canceled. And today's scheduled Freedom House recovery event has been postponed. That's now going to take place next week, Friday, October 7th. Speaking with meteorologist Andrew Kren from the National Weather Service, who joins us now on the phone to talk about the storm. Andrew, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
You're welcome.
So what is the forecast for the triangle as we get the remnants of Ian in our area today?
Well, we're going to have heavy rain, possible flash flooding, strong gusty winds, and also the threat of some isolated tornadoes. So that tornado threat is going to be mainly along and east of Interstate 95. So we're going to see rainfall continuing through the day today. It's going to become heavier as we get into the afternoon and the evening hours. Wind gusts will roughly range between 40 to 45 miles per hour, perhaps up to 50 in spots. And rainfall amounts anywhere from 3 to 5 inches of rain. And so one of those days to just kind of stay inside and not go on the roads if you don't have to.
When are we looking at this coming to an end?
That's going to be improving as we get into the late evening hours tonight and into Saturday morning. So that system will weaken considerably and move up into the Appalachians of Western Virginia by early Saturday morning, and that will help push the majority of the impacts to our north and northwest.
Speaking with Andrew Kren again, National Weather Service. So with that in mind, what's your best advice for folks in the triangle who are looking to get through this? You mentioned stay off the roads. What else?
If you do see flooded roadways, definitely avoid that. A small amount of water can basically carry a car downstream. That's one thing to consider. With the wind gusts of 40 to 50 miles per hour, it could result in some scattered power outages and some wind damage across the area, especially kind of to our south and southwest. And also the wet ground with these wind gusts could blow down or weaken any trees that are not as healthy as some of the older trees. We do have that threat for isolated tornadoes, so if as we get into the afternoon and the evening hours, that's going to be the prime time for any potential tornado threat. So anyone that is out and about, stay up to date on any potential warnings that may be issued, and certainly have a way to receive those warnings.
Andrew Kren, National Weather Service, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
That's the look at the situation locally. It is, of course, a statewide event and, of course, a southeast-wide event as well. So the entire state of North Carolina is hunkering down and getting ready. That includes state-level officials. Governor Roy Cooper and other state officials addressed the public yesterday afternoon as North Carolina government prepares for Ian. With details on that, here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
With predicted flooding and potential landslides from heavy rains, as well as the chance for tornadoes and strong winds throughout Friday, Governor Roy Cooper had an urgent message to North Carolinians.
I want to be clear. This storm can still be dangerous and even deadly.
Cooper said many residents remember the destruction Tropical Storm Fred brought to western North Carolina just more than 1 year ago, as that extreme weather and resulting damage killed 6 people. When responding to a question about whether Hurricane Ian's devastation in Florida affected his state's planned response, Cooper said at this point, North Carolina is well aware of the threats extreme weather can bring.
We know that these storms can be unpredictable and their strength can be so impactful. We know the plan unfortunately, here in North Carolina. We have a lot of experience having gone through these storms. And so I think we are ready across the board.
To help respond, the governor issued a state of emergency due to the storm on Wednesday. The measure allowed North Carolina Emergency Management Director Will Ray to get down to work, coordinating with many departments, organizations, and teams across the state. On Thursday, Ray said there were hundreds of personnel stationed at the emergency center in Raleigh and at facilities in the mountains, Piedmont, and coastal areas.
That is the strength of the state emergency response team. All those organizations working in partnership, collaborating to make sure we can get the right resources to our local communities when they're needed.
Transportation Secretary Eric Boyett urged North Carolinians to avoid unnecessary travel during the storm. He said between the chances of road flooding and damage, several NCDOT teams will be at the ready for roads to be cleared once it's safe.
We will work to get our roads open swiftly as possible using our contract partners as needed. Safety is always our number one priority, and we want to make sure everyone stays off the roads in the storm-affected areas. Please don't drive through roads with standing water. Turn around. Don't drown.
The governor also suggested people assemble or double-check their emergency kits. They're a key resource for residents who may either be stuck in one location, lose power, or need medical attention. Cooper suggested some additional items to add into those kits.
It's a good idea to have multiple ways to receive emergency information, like a battery-powered radio or a cell phone, so you can receive storm weather watches and warnings. Need to gather emergency supplies like non-perishable food, water, and flashlights in case you lose power.
For more emergency and storm resources from the state government, Orange County, and the Red Cross, you can head to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
ReadyNC.gov is the state's emergency preparedness website. You can also go there for suggestions about how to assemble an emergency kit. Other news, more details on the fatal tractor-trailer crash on I-85 in Hillsboro earlier this month. Danny McNeil is the driver who died when the truck hit a bridge and overturned on September 14th, but there may have been a second person in the truck as well. News of Orange now reporting 25-year-old Alyssa Taylor of Virginia might have been riding with McNeil. She's not been heard from since the day before the crash, and yesterday some of her family members posted a video on social media saying they found an earring at the crash site that likely belonged to her. In health news, Chatham County yesterday reported its first confirmed case of monkeypox. No details on the individual, but North Carolina officials say there have been 566 confirmed cases so far across the state. Health officials say the monkeypox vaccine has proven effective at limiting the spread. In Raleigh, the head of the National Abortion Rights Advocacy Group, Emily's List, appeared with Governor Roy Cooper on Tuesday, part of a campaign event to elect Democrats to the state legislature. Observers give Democrats very little chance of regaining control of the state House or Senate this year, but Cooper says it's important for Republicans not to win a veto-proof majority in both houses. If they do, he says he won't be able to veto any anti-abortion bills that lawmakers might pass. On campus, a groundbreaking ceremony yesterday to mark the start of a $150 million expansion project at UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School. You can see concept art for the project on our website, chapelboro.com. The construction project is expected to run until 2026. Speaking of work on campus, the North Carolina Botanical Garden announced yesterday that the arbor walkway along Cameron Avenue next to Coker Arboretum will be removed in November, but only temporarily. It's a renovation project to repair the arbor and make the walkway more handicap accessible. No word how long that project will last, but the walkway was last renovated in 1997. Finally, one more story from campus. UNC officials told us last week that the university would not be renewing its contract with a tech program called Navigate 360, formerly Social Sentinel, following an explosive report about that program in the Dallas Morning News. Social Sentinel was originally marketed as a way for colleges to check social media for possible threats, but it came to be sold and used by many colleges as a way to keep tabs on protesters. UNC did that, and in some cases, even disrupted demonstrations that happened at other universities. I spoke with Ari Sen, a UNC alum who co-wrote that piece. Here's what he said about the way UNC used the software around the Silent Sam demonstrations in particular.
We ended up collecting more than 56,000 pages of documents from schools all around the country, and we also spoke to, you know, school officials and experts. And what we learned is that Social Sentinel while they market it as not a surveillance, not a monitoring tool, what we learned is that it often, to university officials, was being billed as a tool that could mitigate or forestall protests, and that universities actually were using it for that purpose. So we found that schools in North Carolina, schools in Georgia, schools all across the country were using this tool to surveil student protests and demonstrations. We knew they had used some sort of social media monitoring tool to monitor silence and protesters in 2017. This article also reveals that in 2018, around the time when the statue was torn down, the UNC Police Department was entering specific keywords related to the statue into the Social Sentinel Service to surface information about the statue protests. Many of the colleges we looked at have since canceled the use of the Social Sentinel Service, but UNC still uses this tool. And so that's an outlier in itself.
Ari Sen speaking there. Again, following that conversation, UNC told us that they would not be renewing that contract. 6:22, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Imbibe, now renamed Ruru. Hurricane Ian disrupting some UNC events this weekend. Tar Heel men's soccer has postponed its game against Clemson to Monday. And yesterday, UNC announced that live action with Carolina basketball is being postponed as well. An annual tip-off event was set to happen tonight in the Smith Center. Now it's been pushed back a week. It'll be next Friday, October 7th. Other games are still on, though, including a UNC home swim meet against Queens at 2 p.m. and a UNC volleyball home match against Miami at 6 o'clock tonight in Carmichael Arena. Volleyball also hosting Florida State on Sunday. That match is still on as well. Also still playing this weekend, UNC women's soccer is at Virginia Tech tomorrow night, and UNC field hockey is at Liberty on Sunday. And, of course, UNC football is still on, too. They're hosting Virginia Tech at 3:30 tomorrow. Both teams coming off tough losses and looking to bounce back. With your preview, here's 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
In a stark departure from last year, when three of Carolina's first four games were within the ACC, this season saw the Tar Heels open with four straight non-conference games. Though fans are still disappointed with last weekend's loss to Notre Dame, UNC head coach Mack Brown put his team's 3-1 start in perspective and compared this Saturday's ACC opener with the Hokies to last year's season opener against them.
We're probably where someone would have thought or ahead going into conference play, and then it's unique that we played Virginia Tech in the opener last year and got whipped, and we're a top-ranked team, and that kind of put us in a tough spot with a lot of negativity to start the season with, and really we're kind of starting the season with them again this year.
To Brown's point, despite UNC's loss to the Irish, the Tar Heels' standing in the ACC Coastal Division was not affected. Like three other teams in the division, Carolina is still 0-0. To move to 1-0, the Tar Heels will have to defeat a program which has had its number since joining the conference. Virginia Tech has won 14 of 18 meetings with Carolina since 2004, and 2 of 3 since Brown returned to Chapel Hill. In fact, Saturday will see UNC try to win consecutive home games against the Hokies for the first time since 1938. Last year's season-opening loss in Blacksburg is doubtlessly still on the minds of Carolina fans everywhere. But Virginia Tech has since fired head coach Justin Fuente, hired head coach Brent Pry, and changed much of its roster. UNC offensive coordinator Phil Longo said the Hokies might as well be an entirely different program.
It's different. You know, you play in this conference, and when the staff stay the same, you know, you kind of prepare and graduate and build on what you did against the team from last year. And with Virginia Tech, everything's completely new. I think there are a couple coaches on the staff that are still there, but the DC is new, the approach is new, you know, and some of the players are new this year. So addressing Virginia Tech this year is simply by watching this year's film and preparing from that standpoint, because it's really nothing like it was last year.
The Hokies' defense ranks in the nation's top 10, and the team takes pride in its strong special teams play. The offense has struggled, but is going against a UNC defense which ranks close to dead last in college football. Much like Notre Dame, Virginia Tech could use the Tar Heels for a get-right game. Defensive coach Gene Chizik would prefer history not to repeat itself. And though his unit's statistics are unsightly, Chizik said he is still confident in the group's dedication and remains adamant that better days are ahead.
Every day is a work in progress with coaches. Every day is a work in progress with the players. But one thing that is great and 100% true is everybody's all in, and we're all in this together. And we as a group, understand that nobody's been happy with any of these performances. But that's what football is, right? You got to man up and go out there every day and try to improve and get better. And as long as everybody's in on that, then we'll always have a chance to improve, and we will improve.
With the remnants of Hurricane Ian likely to drop significant amounts of rain over North Carolina this weekend, it's hard not to think about UNC's 2016 meeting with the Hokies in Keenan Stadium. Under a downpour caused by Hurricane Matthew, Virginia Tech dominated Carolina 34-3 on their way to a Coastal Division crown. Fans have understandably expressed concern about this weekend's weather, but Brown said the game will go on as scheduled.
We're not concerned about it. We're concerned about the people in the path of the storm, obviously, but it doesn't look like it's going to affect our game at all, except maybe it will be more windy than our normal days. We have not had any conversation because right now I don't feel like they feel like the storm's headed this way.
The weather won't be pleasant, but both teams have to play in it, and the game is a critical one for the Tar Heels' aspirations this season. If UNC wants to at least temporarily silence its critics and potentially cool down Brown's seat, they need to win on Saturday, rain or shine. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Kickoff 3:30. Of course, we'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 12:30 with Inside Carolina Live.